Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast. Tonight, we have Mary Dorter is going to join us. We haven't done one of these in a while where we have a stitcher show his or her work. Always have to make sure we've had some guys, so we have to count the guys.
That's right.
But tonight, we're going to get to look at and talk about Mary's work. She does lots of neat things.
Yes, she's been a member of my local guild since I've been a member, and obviously years longer, stitching for years and years. And what I love about her is she stitches everything. She's very good technique wise. So there's not techniques that she doesn't do, and her work is perfect. Just perfect.
Yep.
So, yes.
Well, we're
Japanese.
She does everything. Japanese too.
That Kay Stannis fan piece is Japanese embroidery.
Yes. Oh my.
Yeah. So yes, beautiful. It does beautiful stitching.
That's going to be fun. Yeah. What you guys put together is like 20 pictures. We're not going to do all 20. Tonight. No.
I told her, I said, just send him all of these and he'll have to pick. And we'll leave it on Gary to pick what we're going to talk about.
So we'll have a varied selection. So if there's a technique you're interested in, we'll have a piece for you is what that's going to be.
Yeah.
Well, we've been, Beth and I are doing Trish and Wynn Thistle Threads 17th Century White Work Sampler class. And so a small group of us have been meeting on Thursday nights to stitch and help each other get through it. And Mary is one of those. And so I've gotten to know Mary a little bit. The first time I'd met her was through this little group. And just in her comments and the way she goes about things, she is very much a perfectionist, and her work is beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. You're going to enjoy seeing, because she does do about any technique. She's at least tried it.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. So that's tonight. And then it'll be the 8th, right? Yes, the 8th. Well, the first Wednesday in April. Then we're going back to Australia. And the exhibit this month is antique needlework tools. So April's going to show us, and a lot of those are in cases, and she's going to try and get someone who's an expert to join her. But so we'll be looking at a lot of really rare and unusual antique needlework tools in our tour. And then the Wednesday after that, Kim Young, Sassy Jack Stitchery, is going to join us, but not to talk about what's in her shop, but she's a collector of reproduction samplers. And of course, under their Sassafras brand, they have reproduced a number of them. But she's going to haul out from her collection some reproduction samplers. So we'll get to see those and talk about those. And that's going to be fun. And then the third week in the month, of course, we will have Kathy Ray back for Thread Talk and be able to talk about this time ground cloth and how it relates to the different threads. So that's our lineup on Wednesdays coming up here. Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm looking forward to all of them. It's going to be fun. Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Sassy Jacks, you got a package.
Yes. Yeah. On Monday.
Yes.
And it included
toys.
A wonderful book.
Toys.
Toys. Well, she sent me, I had asked her to send some Londonderry linen threads, because I did know she had them, and I just said, oh, just send me some, you know. So she was kind enough to send in white, reds, and purples. I am just so excited to play with those. So with that white work sampler, we received, I think, some 30 count, is it legacy linen?
I believe you're right, yes.
That is wonderful fabric to stitch on. I'm not using it for my actual 17th century sampler. I'm using it as a doodle cloth. And I'm thinking I need to do some playing with this linen thread on that linen fabric. And I think that will be wonderful. And yes. So I might just do, just some practice for the 17th century piece, where you do some four-sided and a little bit of satin stitch, and then you pull threads to do dove's eyes. And I might, but instead of using the linen provided in the kit, I might try this Londonderry linen just to try it, Why not? Why not?
Nobody said you couldn't.
But
That's the
that's
fun
right.
thing about the that we this is my first Trish and Wynn kit. And if you ever get a chance to take one of her classes, she sends ample supplies. Like the cloth we got much more cloth than ground cloth linen than we need for the actual project. So it really allows us like to play with things like that. That's really great.
Right. And on this piece, on the 17th century piece, I have one stitch I just couldn't get. I just could not get my brain to wrap around. And I finally said, why am I doing this on my piece? I pulled out the practice, the 30 count, put a hoop in, and I tried it. And it was that, why didn't I do it before? It's just like, duh, duh, brain dead or something. I don't know. But the other thing that came in the box was Willing Hands, which is by Betsy Morgan. And if you know anything about Betsy Morgan, she makes etuis, which are boxes that contain needlework supplies. And I've done one of her boxes called Tall Year Squared. It's an Inspirations magazine. And this book is just full of these etuis to make.
Okay, help me. Now, all right, help me. I've never done one. I've never seen one other than in pictures. So these etuis, what is it? Etui?
Yes.
That's how it's spelled. So are they on canvas, like needlepoint canvas? Are they
No.
needlework on a ground cloth and then you attach to some kind of a rigid material? How does this get put together?
Right. So, Betsy makes hers on, you do it on linen. Normally, I think she uses 32 or 36 count linen. And then you s do cross stitch on them. Most of hers are cross stitch. And then you put them on some sort of like I've used Pellin, which is a type of stabilizer to make my box. But I think you could use acid-free cardstock or something like that to give it stability, and then you build these boxes from there. And she takes you through the construction of it, and it's not just cross stitch; it's counted work. I guess would be a better example. It's not just like you're not just making X's. You do some of the surface stitching, satin stitch, eyelets, things like that in it too. And then they don't, well, they have little things that go in them, which is also what's interesting. So, scissors cases, scissor fobs, another needle case, pin blocks, all sorts of things that you make and you put in the little box. So the first one is one of the ones that I've wanted to do for a long time. It's called, I'm flipping pages, so sorry for the noise, but it's called the toy chest. And you make a little chest shaped box, and in the box, so there's a drum, there's like books, there's a little doll that you stitch.
Oh, so the book has the box itself and then instructions for the various accessories too.
Yes. And how to assemble them. So everything, and this is by Inspirations. The book itself was printed up by Inspirations. So it's a well done book. And the scary thing is, I just saw on Instagram, Willing Hands 2 is coming out. And I'm like, no.
Well, you'll have to get
Look,
all
I'm
these
ever going to
projects
make.
done, and then you can get book two.
I'm never going to get them all done.
Are these boxes, are these like little boxes, 6 by 6, 6 by 8 inch, or are they foot long?
Yeah,
What are we talking?
they're not very big. I'm looking at one that's called Betsy's. This one's for Betty, and it fits in a hand, a little bit larger than your
Oh,
hand.
okay.
So most of them aren't very, they're very, very small. I can like the, oh, well, and some of these you'd really be interested in, like this Helix Etui. It's a totally different shape. And then she's got little items that fit in. So this is in like your piece of linen is only 15 by 20
Oh,
that
so
you use
okay.
to stitch this piece in.
'Cause see,
It's small.
when you talk about stitching a box, immediately what comes to mind for me is one of those 2 year projects. And but this is not that this okay, this is something someone could sit down and in a couple of months if you worked at it, have it all done.
I guess if you're a fast stitcher,
Oh, okay.
there's a lot of stuff on it. It took us a year to do Tall Year Squared,
Oh, okay.
slowly. Because our guild did that. We each bought the magazine. It was an Inspirations magazine. We kitted it up, and then over the year we stitched it because there's a lot of stitching on them, and there's a lot of stitching in the little items you do, and then you hand sew it together.
So you,
So,
what do
like,
you, how do you mount the linen on the rigid part? You lace it on, or what?
you lace it on, you lace it on, you lace it on, and then you, she has different. I'm just looking at the, it looks like she has different ways. Well, no, I think she just whips them together. Because that's what we did with the original one, was we just you did a back stitch and then you whip those two edges together to form the box.
Oh, okay. And these boxes have lids on them, and
Yes, some of them have lids or something to close them, or they close by tying them together so they open up.
oh.
That's what makes them interesting, is they kind of open in different ways.
So this
Some
would
of them are
be
just the
like,
box.
yeah, so this would be a really special gift kind of project that you might do for, say, if your daughter was graduating or having a baby or something, you could, this would be a real special thing to make then.
Right. Something special to make for someone. And like
Not
the
your
one that's
daughter having a baby. You're just trying to get her through college, but
Right. So the Elizabethan casket one has all sorts of little motifs of animals on it. So if you didn't like one of the animals, I'm sure you could find something separate, something, or you didn't want to do animals, you could change it up.
Yeah.
But that's, giving it to someone special, or I don't know. I just think they look so, just so cool.
Right. No, I'm not encouraging giving needlework as gifts. That's not something that I'm interested in. I think that's most times a big mistake, but I'm just thinking that that would be, if somebody who would really appreciate what goes into something like that, that would be a special gift to get, yeah.
Right. And I think for a special friend, I have given a kit so they could make their own,
Now there, see,
but I've
that's
never
much more
given
practical. There, okay. Yeah. Here, make your
but
own.
never the make your own. But yeah, these are just, I think you'd be interested in the construction of them, Gary. I think that's what originally called to me about these, is that you take a piece of fabric and something hard, construction board, some sort of board, and then you come out with this three-dimensional piece at the end. And that fascinates me about these etuis, that it's you're doing all of it. You're not taking it to a framer and having them frame it, or even having someone else make you a box for This is all you making it.
Well, it also addresses the dilemma of we only have so much wall space. So, yeah, I see. I didn't know anything about this till you mentioned it the other day, and then you got that book, and most fascinating. And if it, like you said, if it's an inspirations book publication, it's done to the ninth, right to the hilt, perfect. So.
It's and it is. It's just a beautiful, again, just as something to look at. Even if you weren't going to make any of these books specifically in here, it would give you the, like, let's say you wanted to design your own, but you didn't know how to start on making something like this. It would give you the dimensions of how to make a box, which would be a great starting spot.
Well, and then when you get the second book, then you'll be able to confirm that it is of equal quality. So that'll be nice.
Yes. I'll just tell Kim, Kim, just add it to that growing stack of books you're going to send me from Australia.
And the Inspirations books, Kim is a source for those. If you want any of the inspiration books, Kim's Kim 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 at Sassy Jacks can get them for you. And
Which
I've
is
got
nice.
I've got three or four. They're beautiful books. Every one of them is gorgeous. They're the kind of thing I don't feel like stitching one night. Sit down, put your feet up, and just go through one of those books, and you'll enjoy it. They do a nice job. Okay, well, we'll be looking for that. I now see you got me intrigued here.
Yes, you're just gonna have to go look for that book, and you might have to just get a copy.
I might just have to get a copy because I need more books.
Yeah, you never can have too many, right?
No, not that I've ever seen. No, I've not seen any limitation on that. It's a good
No,
thing to collect.
never.
Okay. Well, that now I learned something today. I learned something, and now I'm intrigued, and I got to check it out.
Yeah,
Happens.
and the one on the cover, so if you just go find the cover image, it's this house. And I think this is the Elizabethan one, and she's using some sort of satin stitch. And then there's the a cross stitch fence. And I'm thinking, well, shoot, I wouldn't have done that cross stitch fence. We could do the, like you said, do a rainbow galleries thread and make that fence just ribbons instead of stitching that down. And I think that add a nice dimension to that piece.
Since last week when we talked about that, I really think that we all need to start looking at some of these other threads and how they might get used in designs. Even if it's if you're doing nothing more than couching it down because it won't go through the holes in your ground cloth, I think there's a level of embellishment that needs to be explored extensively with these specialty threads. And just to bust out of the box, if you will.
Oh, and even these, like these Londonderry, they're still in the bag. I'm trying to keep them somewhat organized, which is, impossible for me. The linen threads are have a different texture, and obviously coming right off the spool, not a sheen like a regular cotton would. So I'm
No,
just
but
wondering, like, what happens?
there is some a bit of a sheen to them. I was surprised. I figured they would just be flat dull, but there's a little bit to them.
I wonder if we could do French knots with these,
Oh.
and then I bet we could. And I, just now I'm thinking going back to Spring Hill.
That's what
This
my
might be
sheep,
the.
that's what my sheep, that, you just did it.
Oh,
That's
see,
what my
and the
sheep,
and you
yep.
need the smallest size. So this is 50-30. I bet the for mine I'd have to use the 80-30.
Yeah. Nope,
Wait, wait,
that's
wait.
it.
No, it's 50.
Yep.
Wait, wait, wait. It's the wrong way. No,
50's the,
it's
50's the,
80-30.
80 is the finer.
80 is the finer.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Yes, the 80. And I wonder, you know what? It might be just small enough to make French knots on that 45 count. Or even if I didn't do French knots, even if I to see if I could do a cross stitch with, I know I could do a cross stitch with them, but just a slightly different texture
Yeah.
than the 100/3s. So that way, just so my sheep look a little more dimensional.
Yep, that's,
Even if
oh,
I just
that,
did a
yeah.
tent stitch.
Yeah. No, that, you just did it right there. That, my sheep are going to be using the Londonderry linen thread. Yep. Because that, yeah, and compared to the silks, that'll give a much more of a true sheep wool look. Yeah. Ha, well done. Okay, good job. French knot
Well,
sheeps
and
with
it just,
linen thread, yes.
yeah. And you know, it's worth a try. And they have little like schlubs in them. They're not smooth. They've just got a little bit of roughness in them that, you know, give you just that little bit of texture.
Yep. Okay, there it is. Making a note now. When I get all the way down to the bottom third and can actually do that.
Oh, I know. I know. And I have to say, I made a mistake on
Uh-oh.
that big vine going up and down. And I know actually I'm pretty sure the mistake is in the one of the vines to the right. The outside vine that you did the back stitch over. That you did the whip stitch.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And I thought, I am not ripping this out to find it. There
Right.
isn't on 45. No, it's not worth it. What happened is it's one leg is a little, it's one stitch too high. And I'm thinking, you know what? It's just going to be that way. And I'm not going to do anything with it. If it really bothers me, maybe I'll rip out a little section and fiddle with it a little bit. But I think it's just going to stay the way it is.
Yep. Yeah, you
It's
do reach a
just not worth
point.
it to
Yeah,
me to take it out.
you just reach a point where no, that's staying in. No.
Right. And I know it would bother people who are perfectionists because it's obviously the line doesn't meet up. It probably would bother some people with following it across their eye. And I'm even thinking I might just add an extra row of stitches so you don't see it as much. And that might just clear it enough to, it'll be a little wider, but it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
No, not ripping
the old Gay Ann Rogers. You made a mistake. What are you going to do to make it work without tearing it out? Yeah. Yeah.
and I'm not tearing that out. No, it took me too long to put it in.
Yeah. Find an adjustment. Find an adjustment. Yep.
But
Oh man, this
it's a
Spring
lovely
Hill.
piece to stitch on.
Huh? What's that?
It's a lovely piece to stitch on. That Spring Hill is fun. And
Yes.
I'm even the Montenegrin stitch practicing going across, and I can't wait. I'm getting those big flowers in now. My beads are too big. I won't be able to do any bead work in them,
Oh, it
which is
won't work,
sad.
huh? Oh, that's too bad.
Right. And I don't know of a, it's not, it's one of those things I don't live close to any bead shop. So it really needs something that was tiny, and it's just not going to work.
Will they work for me at 40 count, or is it still not small enough?
You might be able to get some to work, you know, especially if you have size 15, which I think is the smallest bead size that I know of.
Okay. So if it works for me, it would be right at the limit.
Right. And I have friends who that's what they do. They do from my guild who do beadwork and do beautiful beadwork. So if we were meeting and I could go and say, "Hey, do you know?" They could bring some of their beads just to try even.
Yeah, that's the danger with beads. If you don't have access to them and you have to order, you could end up with a whole lot of beads that you'll never use just trying to find the right ones. Yeah.
But
Yeah, and I
I
don't want
think
to
you
have a
need,
drawer full of beads.
yeah, and even like I was even thinking like the bugle beads, you might be able to find something small enough, especially for like that blue flower in the center.
Yeah.
But I did not have any in the right color or the right size, and I do have blue bugle beads, but they just weren't right.
Yeah,
But
that's the
no.
one, that's the one I'm focusing on for beads if I could get it into work, is that blue one in the center. It's it just suggests that beads might be a nice addition to that.
Yes. Right. It
So,
does. It does.
yeah. Well,
But it's a fun stick.
this design is so much fun because it really is lends itself to doing this kind of monkeying around to see what you can get out of in different areas without risking compromising the whole design.
And that's nice because but it's well designed. It just is an it's a nice design in and of itself. Like we were discussing with Jennifer, the colors in the flowers, that center flower has purples in it, which is interesting because when you look at it, when you look at the image of it, it looks like it's all blues.
It's a little purple in
So
it,
just right. So it's okay. So what she did was the when you put colors next to each other, they change. Or we're going to learn that in our color class that we're taking,
Yeah,
which you talked
which
me
I
into.
don't think we've talked about that you are taking the class. Did we talk about that last week?
No, because
I don't
well,
think we
you said
did.
I was taking the class. I think
Sucked
it was
her in,
you who
folks.
said she was bad influence. Bad. Oh, I just couldn't help myself. I thought, I need this class. I need to learn more about color theory. And the only way I'm going to get better at color theory is if I take a class in it.
Hooked her.
And then he sent me down this, now that I'm down this bunny trail, because we're supposed to pick an image of a famous painting to use as our breakdown for colors. And now I can't, have no idea, because I do like art, and we always like going to art museums, and it's like, well, I like this, I like, and yes, so I don't really normally like Pinterest, but I did find a use for it by I had to find images of paintings, so I just started a Pinterest board with paintings that I liked. And I've got tons of them in there now. It's just like, oh, I like that one, and I like this one,
Okay,
and the
well.
ones that call me are like the Georgia O'Keeffe.
Oh, I didn't think of her.
Yes.
Oh.
So, and again, I do like monochromatic pieces. So her work very much appeals to me. And then flowers, and I like her flowers.
But
And
she has those subtle, soft colors. Oh my. I didn't think of her.
And I do like her poppy piece, the red canna. The red, that's a beautiful one because it's red. How can I go wrong?
Oh, now see, I'm gonna have to
And
go
then
take a
my her
look. I'm gonna have to go take a look at her stuff.
yes And then my husband mentioned, he said, "Well, what about Maxfield Parrish?" And I said, "Who's he?" And so I had to go look him up. And there was one I liked of his. This is the thing I can't, my not my favorite about Pinterest is finding what I saved.
Yeah.
And but it's but it was like a it was a landscape piece in purples. It was like a sunset in Arizona desert. And I just like that. I thought, oh yeah, I can see the colors in that clearly as working
Yeah.
with this class.
Yeah. I did the Google Images Master Painters, and then I found a website where you can buy reproductions of famous paintings, and that's where I ended up doing my searching. I've never been able to connect with Pinterest. I cannot make that, whatever structure it is they have, I just cannot make it work. It's just like, I get the whole idea, collect stuff, pin them on a board. I get that idea, but it just, at some point, it just becomes a jumble to me. I can't make it work. And Lord knows I've tried. Just.
I know, and I'm looking through mine now, and I'm like, I have no clue where I put anything. I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, this is just a mess. Just
Yeah.
drives me bonkers, which is why I normally don't use it. But at least it's showing me some images that I did save, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, no, I can't make that one work. I just have to take another route.
I
And
know.
people use it. Obviously, it works for people because a ton of people use it and collect all kinds of images of all kinds of stuff on it. So it does work, but I just can't. I've never been able to connect with it. So
Right.
I'll pass.
But
Yeah.
yeah, Georgia O'Keeffe. Yeah, it's hers are so, some of her colors are very bold though, which I also like.
Yes. Yes. Oh no, that's just it. She mixes those, but I just the pastels, there's a quietness to her stuff. At least for me.
Yes.
Oh, I gotta go take a look now.
And I've been to her museum, the museum they have in Santa Fe, of her work, and it's a really nice museum. When museums open up again, and if you're ever out there at that in the International Folk Art Museum in Santa Fe, are two great idea
Yeah.
museums, I think,
Yeah.
for needleworkers. You go through and you walk through and your mind just explodes with, okay, I have all these ideas now. How can I use them? Find me more time.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, time is a problem. It is a problem. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Now I gotta go look at Georgia. But yeah, this Natalie class on color is gonna be interesting. Gonna learn something there, no doubt. Yep. And I haven't. Like I haven't stitched in a week. We're moving. Our house is on the market, and we're moving to the St. Louis area to be closer to the grandkids and get a smaller place. And we've all moved sometime or other, and we know how consuming that is. And
Yes. And when you're done doing all the things that need to be done for moving, it's like you just don't want to stitch. And I've had
no.
a few days like, and I summertime is coming for me, and I just stitch less in the summer. I'm out in the yard, I'm digging, I'm planting, playing in the dirt, and I
Yeah.
just don't stitch nearly as much because I'm just too physically tired.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, and that's the worst time to stitch because you'll just have to redo it. So don't. Just
Right.
don't. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, for me in the summer, it's bike riding. Once the weather starts to break, for me it's 2 and 3 hour rides as many days of the week as I can get them in, and that cuts into the energy in the evening, I'll tell you that. Just
Right.
yeah. So.
And it's getting to that point where, it's nice out, so enjoy it while we can.
Right.
Winter does come again and
Yep.
again, but
Yeah. No, I had an experience. We've been battling the supply chain and needlework. It's everywhere. I took my bike in, my road bike, for a complete overhaul, because every couple of years I just get all new cables, brakes, everything. And took it in a couple of weeks ago, a week ago, and said, "All right, take this thing apart and replace all the things that are replaceable." And we were going to be gone that weekend, so we're leaving today. I'll get it Tuesday. Because normally this time of year, bike shops are just sitting around watching the clock move, you know. And the owner, Jeff, looks at me, he says, "I'm going to put you down for April 20." I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm going to put you down for April 20." He says, "That's what our next delivery is, next date." He says, "I got four mechanics," and he rarely has more than two. So I have four mechanics working 6 days a week to keep up with the load. And he says, "And then on top of that, just getting parts is still a challenge." And I said, "Holy smokes, Jeff." And I mean, that road bike is my baby, to be without that thing for essentially a month. And he says, "The best I can do," he says, "we're catching up." He says, "I might be able to do it 5 days earlier, but," he says, "that's the best I can do." And I stand there and I'm looking at him, and it's like there's nothing I can do. And I'm thinking of all the needlework shops, same boat. I can't get the threads. I can't get the linen. I'm sorry. As soon as it's
Right.
in, you'll get it. And it's got to be,
Right.
you love having the business as a small business owner, but it's got to be so frustrating to not be able to deliver. And
Right.
yeah, but
Right. And
it isn't just needlework. Nope.
no. And you feel sorry for, like, I know I was watching Yvette Stanton, and she was saying, I am frustrated too. I can't get the linen in I want for my shop. I can't get the supplies in that I want. And I'm sorry that I'm stuck. You're stuck. We're all stuck. There's nothing we can do about it. And it's like, okay, just gotta take a deep breath, be a little patient, and it'll all open up again soon. And since most of us are not just single project stitchers, that we just have that one project in our stash, there's other things, we can work on. But is that your only road bike? You only have one road bike.
Yeah, I have a road
Okay.
bike and a mountain bike. So then that was my other needlework project is approach was my mountain bike shoes were stored out at Marga's cousin's, because some of the stuff we've had to store and move out to their place. So we just had room to clean up the house and to pack things, to pack more things. And so went out there this past weekend and got my mountain bike shoes so I could ride my mountain bike while I'm waiting for my road bike. But it's the same thing. All right, then go work on another project. Go stitch another project. You
Right.
have them.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's the only road bike I have. Not that I wouldn't mind having a second, but it's
Right. Right.
yeah.
As much as you ride, that's the only that I was asking, because people are as into cycling as you are normally have, at least, have a couple of bikes.
Right. Yeah.
I'm
Well.
just thinking of my brother. I think he has at least two.
Yeah, they tend to accumulate, yes. But
Yes.
yeah, no, I have a mountain bike and a road bike, and
Okay.
so that and now weather's good enough that I'm going to be able to ride the mountain bike. So that's what we'll be doing till the road bike shows up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's
All
such
you
a
can do.
parallel. It's so funny because it's cycling, sweat and heavy exercise and all that stuff, but it's the same parallel as needlework. Just can't get the parts. Got too many people wanting too many things, and it just backs up. Nothing you can do. So, and if one more
Right.
one more cargo ship tanker gets turned sideways in the Suez Canal.
We're sunk. We're sunk. And this is a good time, you know, when you're tired too, so you're not doing much stitching. I know last night I was tired. I was like, I think it was about 9 o'clock. I was like, I cannot see holes anymore. And I thought, well, I could find something that has bigger holes, or I could look at a book.
Yep.
And that's what I did. It was just nice and it was relaxing and it was fun to look at the different projects and see, just think, just look at them, just enjoy the images and
yep,
all that.
Yeah, and that and packing up. Well, I was sharing with you while I was packing up my needlework because, you know, that's one of the, to show the house. My needlework corner had to get emptied out, down to just the minimum things. And oh man, oh, I did not realize. I did not realize how much stuff. Oh, yeah, because I started out okay, a couple of good sized tubs. You know, plastic tubs, and I'll be good. No, it was four or five, and I still have another tub worth to go. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I've sorted through my, I think it was the year my daughter went away to college. I had time, and so I did sort through a lot of my needlework at that point in time. And just, I think sometimes going through and touching it, I was surprised that you still liked, it sounds like you like all the stuff you have.
Yeah.
That you accumulated.
Yeah, no, that, and, I did not feel, as I went through, there was not a growing pile of things that I didn't like. Like, why did I buy that? No, there was a lot of just flotsam and jetsam that needed to get thrown away that it accumulated. But no, I didn't have anything, and I guess I was pretty proud of that, that I didn't have things like that. My reaction was, what is that doing here? No, every one of them, that's right. You know, I still want that because I was expecting to have several things that I would then give away on Wednesday shows. And I'm hanging on to it. I'll never get it. You know, I'll be dead, but still, for now, I'm hanging on to it.
You should like looking at them.
Right, right.
Yeah, right, right.
And a couple I'd forgotten, right. And they got moved to the top. You know, they got moved to the top of the list because I'd forgotten I had them. And one in particular, I'm thinking pretty hard about just how I'm going to do it. And I'd completely forgotten I bought it. So, yeah, not to that point.
Well, you made
yet.
Me think of something that I have in my. Yeah, I have something. You made me think of something I do have in my stash that I'm like, that would be fun to pull out. It's just like, no, I have no room to start another project. Something has to be finished before I can pull out and start a new project.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm at too. Yeah, I gotta get a couple of them off a rack here pretty soon. Yeah, so.
Right.
But yeah, it was an experience. It was I had more in that corner than I thought I had, and Marga just rolled her eyes. So
did she?
Yeah.
Well, and I decided to start sorting through my threads because I have a couple pieces that I can't do anything with them until I find the right thread, and they're more arty pieces than just normal, just cross stitch or needlepoint even.
Yeah.
And I need the correct color of thread. Well, I realize what's holding me back is that all of my threads are by thread type. And so I thought, I'm just going to start with one color and put them all in this box. And when I have time, I'll do another color. Well, I have a lot more blue threads than I thought I did.
Uh-oh.
It was like, I should take a picture. But most of them are needlepoint threads. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're like watercolors or pearl cottons.
Thicker threads, yeah.
So thicker threads that, you know, you just wouldn't normally pull through like a fine linen. But it opened my eyes to all the threads I have.
Right.
And then just thought, I have all these threads. Why am I not stitching with them? And they're beautiful. I have some over-dyed petite, very velvet threads that I would just love to go to play with. Just love.
Overdyed petite, very velvet. That's interesting.
Yes. And there, I think I had bought some. I think I shared some with my guild at that point in time. And I thought, well, I'm buying some for my guild. I might as well buy a few for me. And oh, they are beautiful. And I just need to, it's like, okay, I need to find a project that I can work on
Right.
these with. And because, oh, they're just gorgeous. They have such a lovely sheen and color and texture. And oh,
Yep. That is an interesting thing, though. How to organize thread by color or by thread type.
And I know I'm going to keep my avoirdupois, my silks, those things separate because I'm not going to use those for surface, for my more arty pieces. I'm just not. But all those thicker threads, those are what I need pulled out and organized by color because that's where I'm going to use them. And I don't use them because they're not organized by color. They're just sitting in a box because I'm like, well, where are they? I need this color, but where is that color? I've looked through every single box I can think of, and they're not there. And I know I purchased them.
That's it's an interesting discipline, organizing threads so that they're actually useful and that you know what you have. And then keeping the organization in place over time. Yeah, there's the real trick.
Well, and I just heard someone say, I think it was Julie Fayfan Balzer talking about her art supply. She says, you don't think about organizing in the best way that you're going to use it necessarily, but make sure it's something that you're going to be able to keep up to put away. And so even in that regard, I think having boxes where it's just a color of thread will be easier for me to put away than, oh, is this an overdyed silk or an overdyed floss? Is it, is it, which thread type is it? I've got to go find the specific thread type and put it in a special color bag. And no, it ended up being in a big box of mixed colors. And I'm looking, that doesn't help either.
So then it's a crude organization in that this box is red, this box is blue, but the key is you'll be able to retain that organization. It won't break down over time.
And because I had organized them all by thread types and I had them organized that way for years, but I found that's nice if I'm looking for Crinex, like I knew where all my Crinex were, then they were organized by color. But if I wanted something more like the petite very velvet that I have overdyed, I normally want a color rather than necessarily that thread. And I don't know how, and so it was a pain. It's just a pain because they were all the overdyes were together instead of by color. I was like, it's got to change.
First world problems, I'm
But
telling
then
you.
you run into another problem. I know. Then you run into another problem, though. Okay, so let's something say something's overdyed with purple green and it has a little yellow in it. Where do you throw it? Which basket do you throw that color in? Oh, the troubles I have. I
It's
know.
clearly a struggle, no doubt.
I know, obviously,
No
obviously.
doubt. All right, I think we'll call it there. That's good. So
All
tonight,
right.
join us, Mary Daughter. We get to look at her work. Sunday is going to be Joanne Jackson, the president of Cyber Stitchers. And fascinating conversation with her about not just cyber stitchers, but needlework in general. We had a good time with her. So join us for that Sunday. That'll be our Easter Sunday show.
All right.
I didn't plan
Excellent.
it. There's no planning there. It's just next one out of the chute, you know. So, all right. So
How it goes.
join us tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time for the Stitch Hour, and be sure and catch last Sunday's show with Daniel Ravon of the Rainbow Gallery. That was fun. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.